Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively in Ocean City. It's raining, so the senator has decided to come inside here. We're at the Mako convention. I thought Mako was a car dealer, Senator, back in the day. And Don Mohler had explained to me that lots of folks come down here and lobby. And more than that, we usually get sunshine, but today you're going to get a crab cake. So this is going
to
be good.
That sounds great. It's good to be with you again. It's good to be here in Ocean City. If you can't be in Baltimore, you might as well be in Ocean City.
Well, right. I mean, I've got an Oriole game next week. We're doing all that. I've talked so much about workforce here and in the state, and the Chamber of Commerce. I had a bunch of businesses 2 weeks ago. I started the Crab Cake Tour down here. This has been a challenge the last year and a half for everyone, for workforce. I see it in Cambridge. I see it in Baltimore, all through the state, because I'm doing 30 crab cakes in 30 days in 23 counties in one city. I found that they're kind of 24 counties here. For workforce here in Ocean City, this is a unique place, right? I mean, 3, 4, 5 months a year, everybody comes, and we need workers here.
Well, it's more than 3 or 4 or 5 months a year. This is really year-round now. And I was just talking to the mayor, Mayor Meehan. He's telling me that September is busier than June and that the fall is going to be anticipated to be extremely crowded down here, which is good. It's good. People are coming to Ocean City.
Well, I was here a couple weeks ago, and the Marlin was I don't want to say there was no COVID, but the COVID aftermath, people want to come out. I've seen it at concerts. I'm seeing it all over the state. Anywhere there's been boats, anywhere there's been water and outdoor activities, this is a summer people want to participate. And I think for businesses to reinvigorate, and certainly in Baltimore where restaurants were shuttered, staffs were cut, workforce in the state, and I think in the country, coming back at $15 an hour, all the things that you've been fighting all these years for.
Oh, absolutely. The economy is really booming right now. And so you were at the White Marlin tournament.
I was.
Did you catch that record fish?
No, I saw the 137-pound tuna, and then I had to use the restroom, and that's when they weighed the 600-pound marlin. That was an amazing. You've been to that, right? Many times, right?
It is a happening, and it's crazy here, and it's crazy good. It is. It's the largest tournament of its kind in the world.
Michael Jordan comes.
Michael Jordan of his modest little boat.
We saw some modest boats. Senator Ben Cardin here. We're at Mako. We're down in Ocean City. Let's talk about Ocean City and the significance of this, because I've come down here a couple of times. I dream this thing about the state. I've been all over the world. I've never been to Deep Creek Lake in my life. Never been to Antietam in my life. Never been to Solomon's in my life. They're taking me to Smith Island for Smith Island cake. So this tour, but Ocean City's where I began it. It's the place I always wanted to come when I was 7, 8, 9, 10. Then I discovered girls. Then I discovered the beach. Everyone's in a hurry to get here. What I've learned is stopping on 50 on the way down, the Oxfords, the Eastons, the St. Michaels, the Tillman. But Ocean City is memories for you. When's the first time you came to Ocean City, Maryland?
I think my first visit that I remember was when I was, in high school, and it was a Young Dem convention here in Ocean City.
There was no senior week in your day?
No, we had senior weeks, but we didn't come all the way down to Ocean City.
Who invented senior week in Ocean City, man? That was a smart person who did that.
But remember, when I was in high school and I came down here, Ocean City ended where the boardwalk ended. There was nothing else.
So that means like 33rd Street? What was north of that? Just sand?
Sand.
It looked like Delaware or like
exactly.
Mag's Head. Okay. Dunes.
There was, I think, one hotel that was out all the way out there. But other than that, no, it was all... Basically, the dunes. And quite frankly, if you went past around 12th or 13th Street, there wasn't much.
In my lifetime, I've seen the changes. My wife and I took a walk in Cambridge on the Bill Burton Pier. And I knew Bill Burton. I worked with Bill at the Evening
Sure.
Sun. I told her the legendary stories of the little fish on the map behind us, and you remember all that. That was the road. I stood on the pier, and I said, there were one car in each direction to get to Ocean City, and everyone wanted to get here in 1978. You've seen all the years of the Salisbury bypass, and I met with Jake Day a couple weeks ago and talked about Salisbury and all. But these roads and the access to get down here, to see what Ocean City's become, but to see the infrastructure that it's taken on the Eastern Shore to have people here.
Oh, absolutely. These bridges have all been replaced since the original bridges that I remember. And, of course, the roads that come down here took us through the cities. It didn't take us any longer than it takes today because of the traffic. We didn't have anywhere near as much traffic. But it's the Eastern Shore is a unique spot, and I'm glad you visited some of the historic cities. They're just incredible.
I don't know why I've never visited them, and it's not that I haven't been touristed to do it. It's just I'm in a hurry to get to the beach, and I think a lot of people are. You're either fishing, your kids are in the back seat, dogs barking, whatever it is. But the state is so beautiful. I say that with, I'm a Marylander, I'm a Baltimorean. I haven't been west of Cumberland ever, so I'm doing the Frostburg Flyer. I'm going fly fishing on the Savage River and doing these things. They say Maryland's America in microcosm, right?
Oh, absolutely. I you said St. Michael's. I hope you got to St. Michael's, and I hope you took the Oxford Belfry Ferry over to.
Almost Oxford. Bought the shirt.
Yeah. Oh, I have the hat.
We took the first ferry at 9 a.m. last week. We were the only ones on the ferry, so we had like a private ride, and we did it from the Bellevue side over to Oxford, and there was a boat race going on. The water in this state, I drive over the bridges, and I don't know that I've ever looked left or right. Just how much water we have here, and I know that's intuitive, we all know it, but until you see tributaries and rivers and down in southern Maryland, I think every Marylander should get out and explore our state more.
Oh, absolutely. You know, Maryland has more coastline than just about any other state.
It was a Jeopardy question a couple months ago. It was.
Of course, they have more coastline than the West Coast altogether. I mean, it's incredible how much of the Chesapeake Bay and the coastlines that we have in our state, and it's so beautiful, the different rivers that go into the Chesapeake Bay. This really is a special place, and Michener got it right when he talked about the Chesapeake. The Chesapeake is truly a unique area.
Well, when I brought up the Oxford Bellevue Ferry, everybody hit me on the Michener Chesapeake, and they're like, you never read Michener's Chesapeake? I'm like, it was too big. They're like, well, the Oxford Bellevue Ferry is featured in it, and I'm like, well, maybe I'll have to find that on page 400. Ben Cardin is here. He is our great center. We're in Mako. We're down in Ocean City doing some Baltimore positive. Yeah, I'm a Baltimore guy, so like for me to get out and spread the Baltimore word, and Baltimore gets a bad rap a lot of places, and people say, I'm not coming to the city. I think there's a goodwill part of this. But being in Ocean City and coming down here earlier and finding out about employment, H-2B, I've learned H-2B, I've learned J-1. I've learned J-1 from the folks over in Cambridge at J.M. Clayton. Yeah. Jack Brooks took me and showed me the crab pickers, and I'm on a crab cake tour. And I dreamed this up in February. I had no idea crab meat was going to be $60 a pound and what's happened here. Let's talk about immigration, because you've been a great advocate and a fighter for all of this, which is one of the reasons I brought you on today. Tell our audience what's happened to businesses in Ocean City and how you've tried to help them.
Well, the J-1 visa program, which is a cultural exchange, it allows students from other countries to come here to visit our country, work here, learn about America, and take back a relationship between our two countries. So the J-1 visa program is critically important to Ocean City. I was talking to the mayor. They generally have somewhere around 5,000 J-1 visa workers here during the season. This year it was less than 1,000. The year before it was virtually zero.
Now, there's a number on totally for the United States or just our state. Can you give them the parameters of why we can't get more?
Well, there's a limit. There's a number limit, but also it's been COVID-19. COVID-19's been the major challenge. There are border closings. You can't come into this country because of COVID-19. You can't get flights. You can't because of COVID-19. There's restrictions, not just in America, but other countries. So it's been mainly the pandemic that's caused the shortages of the worker visas that we call J-1s or H-2Bs. H-2Bs are seasonal workers that come in. That number was restricted greatly during COVID-19. We got the release this year, so we're back. There's no longer a restriction on the H-2Bs, but it's still difficult to get workers here.
Yeah, the restrictions on that, I've talked to folks, and that's just not a Maryland thing. My understanding is that's about salmon in Alaska. I mean, this is it's about fields in Kansas and picking vegetables. It's an all over America problem, right?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, then we have the agricultural visas as well. There are different visa programs for workers that are critically important. And let me make it clear: these workers, sometimes you say these are unskilled, but these are people who have skills that are critically important.
I videotaped these people picking crabs. This is not something anyone in Cambridge can do.
No, it's absolutely essential. Or you talk to some of our our vineyards here and the workers that they have in order to deal with our wineries. It is absolutely skilled workers that we do not have in this country. They come here. They're not really interested in living in America. They're here to help them economically. They take their money back to their countries where their families are located. It's a great program that helps our economy and helps other countries and helps the economy, the global economy.
Well, I've been coming down here for years, and my son worked down here for years at Secrets taking pictures. The last 15, 20 years, I would be on the boardwalk going to places I would go, and I would meet a nice Polish girl or a nice European lad that's come here. Right. These are exceptional people, and I didn't understand the grade point averages and what the pre-qualifications were, because you'd say, well, I met someone from Warsaw, Poland, that served me a crab cake down in Ocean City. How did they get here? And I've done a little bit more research, and I know you have as well, but talking about exceptional people that want to come to America and experience. I met a young lady 2 weeks ago who served me a delicious Greek salad on the boardwalk. She said, I'm from Georgia. And she didn't sound like a peach, you know what I mean? Different Georgia. I said, you're from the other Georgia. She says, yes, I live in Strasbourg, France. And I said, how many languages do you speak? She said, five. And I'm thinking to myself, these are the people you want going back to Georgia and saying America's a great place.
Absolutely. And let's make it easier on the employers. It's unbelievable what the employer has to go through every year on getting their workers qualified to come into this country. It's an expensive process. In some cases, it's the same worker coming back if it's H-2Bs.
Well, this was Jack telling me this over at JM Clayton. He explained mainly, primarily Mexican workers, very skilled people, but that they are that they're like family to him. These
absolutely.
Are not, they're not migrant to him. They come every year.
But every year, he has to have that worker qualified, has to go through screening, etc., when we've already done this before. So we need to streamline the process to make it easier for them to be able to get their H-2B workers here.
But what I've been told is that in the case of for the crab workers, that's H-2B, he doesn't even know how many workers he's going to have, right? Like, and that's not just him. That's every business owner in America that is relying on this program. That's a lot of places in Ocean City too, right?
So how do you run a business when you don't know the numbers are going to be able to come in every year? It's so difficult. We need to make it much more predictable for them. And that's why I said it, that the worker has already cleared from the point of view of a background check. They shouldn't have to go through that every year. The cost factor to the employer shouldn't be the same on a returning worker. They should be able to return a certain number of years without that type of bureaucracy and cost. And there should be the predictability to the employer so that they know and can plan their business accordingly.
Senator Ben Cardin here. We're going to have a crab cake at the convention center. It's early. It's too early in the morning. Is it too early? It's never too early to have a crab cake.
It's never too early for a crab cake. I'm glad you're doing this tour. I should promote my All American Road.
Let's go. Promote it.
All American Road.
Tell me
designated this past week. I was at the Bill Burton Pier.
So what's All American Road? What's this?
Well, it is part of our National Byway Program. That
every road, my wife's pointing to me, every road we've been on has been a scenic byway. It has a Black-Eyed Susan on it, right?
But Chesapeake Country is an all-American road. You can go for over 400 miles from Chesapeake City to Crisfield, and then you can go the nautical miles over to Smith Island, all part of an American road program. Legislation I introduced.
Do I get a special pin if I did it?
I'll get you one.
All right.
That
because I've done it.
We had bipartisan legislation passed. I was the sponsor of it. We designated 15 more all-American roads. It's interesting that Maryland has 2% of the country's population, but we have 20% of the designated byways and roads because that's how special Maryland is.
Because it's so beautiful, and I've been on these roads, and I'm giving Heather here from the Chamber of Commerce. She's from Solomon. She's from the other side of the water over there. I had never traveled I had never been to St. Mary's. I had never been to Lexington Park. I had never been to Leonardtown. There's beautiful towns there. And all we saw was Chesapeake Country, scenic byway. So I'm glad you brought that part of this up. I wondered how those signs got there. Cardin must have done it.
We have it in all parts, not only the Eastern Shore, not only Southern Maryland. We also have it in the Western parts. So you haven't been to Deep Creek Lake? Is that what I heard you say?
In my life. Hey, the mayor of Ocean City, Rick Meehan, another University of Baltimore graduate, said he's never been to Deep Creek in his life.
It's
never been to Deep Creek.
It's absolutely spectacular.
I'm ready to go.
I took my children when they were very young camping out at Harrington Mountain State Park and visit Swallow Falls. It's beautiful in the western part of our state. I'm the luckiest senator, along with Chris Van Hollen, in the United States Senate, because we represent this beautiful state of Maryland. There's so much.
Is there anywhere you haven't been in Maryland?
I think I've been to every part of
my life. I mean, I was sure thinking you probably have been.
I can't think of a place I haven't visited. I've visited pretty much every
place. Okay, so Sunday, the Somerset County folks are meeting me at the pier in Crisfield. It's my son's anniversary. They've always wanted to go to Smith Island, and we're going over, and we're getting legitimate Smith Island cake. We're doing crab cakes. And the thing about crab cakes in this state, and I'll give the senator a full... Before he sat down, I said, we're bringing a crab cake. The first thing you said is... Are they from Maryland? That you were very, very adamant about that. Because we do have that issue going on.
Oh, no question. I've threatened to file suit against restaurants that serve Maryland crab cakes that from other places.
Whoa. Tell me about this.
It is terrible. You go to other places, we have a Maryland crab cake, and then they bring it out, and they serve this thing that is terrible. And they're defaming our state of Maryland by calling it a Maryland crab cake when it's not a Maryland crab cake.
I knew I'd love having you on the show today. He's spicy this morning. Is that J.O. or Old Bay or a little bit of combination of both? What you got?
It's Old Bay.
All right. Tell me about what makes a perfect crab cake for Senator Ben Cardin. Because I'm thinking you've been served bad crab. You've had enough bad crab cakes. Somebody probably brought you.
Yeah. I've had my share of bad crab cakes, but never in Maryland. It is the crab cake is what makes it's the crab that makes the crab cake.
Correct.
It's got a big the back fin crab meat with minimal other ingredients, broiled, never fried.
Ooh, that'll start a fight.
Absolutely. Fried gives a fried flavor. You don't want a fried
flavor. It's crispy, though.
I know. I love fried flavors for French fries. That's okay. Potatoes are all right to be fried. Crab cakes should not be fried. It's the crab meat that makes the flavor there. You want to taste it. You shouldn't have to put any tartar sauce or
thank
cocktail
you.
Sauce.
Thank you.
It's the meat itself that
tartar
makes
tartar sauce is for fish sticks.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I think the chef may bring us some tartar, because I'll be honest, I've had you're an expert about like government. We're going to talk about Afghanistan. We can talk about everything. Crab cakes. I've had 26 crab cakes in the last 20 days, and I think 24 of them have been served with tartar sauce. And I said, this must be like a kitchen confidential, like Anthony Bourdain, where everyone in a kitchen sees them bring the tartar sauce back at the end, because no one's ever put tartar sauce on a crab cake that I've met.
Right. You shouldn't. It doesn't need it. It's the crab meat that makes the crab cake. So go to some of I can promote a couple places.
Please, go ahead, please. Let me see if I've been there.
G&M.
Been there.
Great. Pappas makes a great crab cake.
Next month.
Good. I mean, these are where they...
Say Costas, because they're my sponsor.
Costas, yeah.
And say Fadley's, because they're my sponsor.
Fadley's are good also.
See, there you go.
They're all excellent crab cakes. You're absolutely correct. In which, when you have that crab cake, it's the crab meat that makes it what it is.
Well,
it's not the filler, and it's not how they... You go to some of our fancy restaurants and they try to put these fancy seasonings in. It doesn't need that. It's the crab meat needs to be the star.
I have had crab meat with tarragon, lemon, aioli, remoulade. I've had it with too much Old Bay, not enough Old Bay. I've had it with J.O. I've had it with Old Bay. I think there's 100 ways to make it, and the arguments. Peppers in a crab cake. I've had major argument about pimento and pepper. You don't put that in a crab cake. I think it makes it taste delicious.
I'm not opposed to that going into the crab cake, but it needs to complement, not dominate the crab.
Okay, fair enough. Senator Ben Cardin with crab cakes and government and Mako. We're in Ocean City. We're telling some Ocean City stories. Also, any thoughts on Afghanistan? I mean, this is where we are right now, and this has been a rough week for the world, I think, right?
Afghanistan's a tragedy. It's a human rights crisis. People are going to get killed and hurt. By the Taliban. This is an extreme government that will not protect the rights of its citizens, particularly women and girls are going to be very, very vulnerable. Our current focus is to get people out safely, Americans, people who helped our mission directly, and those who helped Afghans in our mission, such as the reporters or NGOs, non-governmental organizations. We want to help to get those people out safely, because there will be retribution, and likely there will be targeted for assassination. So we have to help those people. When we go back and look at historically what happened, and this is not the time. The time right now is to save lives. The mistake to me, the major mistake was made in 2002. When President Bush decided that he was going to go into Iraq and never finished Afghanistan. At that time, we had pretty much eliminated the Taliban. We had the ability to get a representative government for the Afghan people stable in the country. Instead, we took our military from Afghanistan and put them in Iraq. And the rest is, I think, history, as they say, on a path that we were never able to install a stable government in Afghanistan that could protect the people and itself.
I think one of the hardest parts is 20 years is a long time, right? And the emotions of two and three, how we felt and where we were as a country then versus where we are now. And I think that's been the hardest thing over the last 5 or 6 days for people to realize how we got here, right, or how it began.
Oh, absolutely. But also, I think the hardest thing, quite frankly, the hardest thing has been the fact that we see people struggling to get out of the country. We see chaos. We see panic. America doesn't, we think we can prevent that from happening, and we were not able to prevent that from happening. And that's very hurtful and very troubling for us to see this firsthand.
All right. Ben Cardin is here. He is our great senator. We're at Mako. We're in Ocean City. This is my favorite part of the segment. I mean, I love talking to you about crab cakes, but I like eating them better. Now, I have been told that the Ocean City... Come on over. Gary's here. See, Gary's got a Super Bowl chef thing. I was at that Super Bowl in San Francisco. Gary Leach is here. He is C-E-C-A-A-C. I don't know. But
wow, look at this.
This is... It is 9:43 a.m. right now.
Perfect time.
This is
the
way they roll in Ocean City, Mayor. Look
at
this.
This is beautiful.
Absolutely. I don't see any tartar sauce here. I see a series. To see a little pan, one pan fried and one broiled. How about that?
They know well.
Well, I'm going to eat your fried one since you don't like fried one so much.
I'm going to take your other one then.
Oh, I'll split out with you.
Thank you,
Chef. I appreciate what is in this. I don't have a mic for you, so
that's all right. We have a little duet of crab cake, broiled and fried, with a fresh garden slaw with edamame, a little
garden slaw,
vinaigrette dressing, some Old Bay hay potatoes, and a Delta remoulade sauce.
And now the remoulade. Tell me what's in the remoulade, because I just want to know.
Mayonnaise base, ketchup, mustard, capers, onions, peppers.
Shallots? No. Onions.
Garlic.
Okay.
Brandy.
Brandy. All right. Good. All right. Good. 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 All right. This is going to be complex. We're down here in Ocean City. Let's. We need some silver here. The crab cake tour. So, Senator, I dreamed this thing up. You can go ahead and eat, man, if you wish. I dreamed this thing up because there's so many places in Maryland I've never been, and we all got like sort of landlocked during COVID, and we're like, where can we go? And I'm going to admit this to you. Don't be mad at me. We went to Nag's Head last year because we had never been to Nag's Head. We talked about Assateague, and we came back up. I told my wife there was a bridge tunnel. She never heard of such a thing. I said, no, it's real. She saw the sign on 50 yesterday on the way down. We took the bridge tunnel up 13 through Virginia, and I saw that train track that runs next to the road down through Pocomoke City up toward Ocean City, and I said, this is... I need to see more of the state. So I was inspired by that. And then I said, we're going to do crab cakes this year. And the argument about crab cakes, I said, I'm going to go through the state, meet new people. And the whole Trump-Biden thing and politics and what we're doing, I think crab cakes bring people together. It brings Marylanders together. So that was my idea.
Well, you know, I think there's a lot in Maryland. And clearly our history of the Chesapeake Bay, our seafood history, our watermen is all part of the romance of our state. If you've not been to Smith Island yet, you're going
Sunday.
When you see Smith Island, the view there of looking at the piers that bring in the seafood from the watermen is so just emotional to see this still exist in our state. It's a way of life that existed 100 years ago that's still being preserved today. And there's still an industry. In Smith Island, you have three small towns that you can only get to by water. They're not connected by road. So you have there's a minister that preaches at all three of the churches and goes by boat to each one on a Sunday.
No one has this like Maryland.
No, what you really should do is take a kayak and really enjoy Smith Island.
My wife likes that idea. Look at her.
The Smith Island cake is remarkable. It's different. It's It's I forgot how many layers it is of calories, but there's lots of layers of calories. But don't bother counting them. Just enjoy.
I'm 10 pounds heavier than I was on July 31st.
But you know, when you talk about, no other state has a Smith Island cake. No other state has the crab cake tradition. No other state has the rockfish. When you say rockfish, where do you think? It's Maryland. I mean, where else do you, everybody says, what do you call it? That's a striped bass. I said, no, it's a rockfish.
Oh, man, I've worked some rockfish up with some capers and lemon sauce now. Yeah. I've learned how to prepare a proper piece of fish is what I've done.
Yeah.
Well, Senator, let's have some crab cakes here. We're going to enjoy this. We're in Ocean City, Maryland. We're going to be at the Hobbit later. We're traveling throughout the state. We're going to be out in Western Maryland later on. They told me I would have trouble, and I'm glad that you pounded the table for Maryland crab meat. They told me I was going to have trouble finding real Maryland crab meat west of Frederick. So I'm on a mission. They told me out in Deep Creek at Dutch's out there at Silver. They said I'm going to have a legitimate Maryland crab meat.
So. You can get it. You just have to know where to get your crab meat from. But it's the good Eastern Shore crabs places. It's by far the best.
Chef, the senator said, first thing he said, that meat's from Maryland, right? It's the first question I asked him when he came out here an hour ago. Yeah. We're going to sign off from Ocean City. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
And we got plenty of COVID-related, you know, I'm touching a few people here, but we got some cleansers. Thanks to everyone in the Ocean City Chamber of Commerce and everybody here at the convention. I've never been to the Fish Powell Convention Center here before, right?
Like, really?
This is the first time I've been here.
I was in the legislature when we created it, when we built it.
I'm going to have the fried crab cake. I have to eat it before I sign off here and make sure I'm going to get some of the remoulade.
Oh, no, don't put any of that on it. Just do it first by itself.
He served the chef served me the remoulade.
You got to taste it before you taste the sauce.
Oh, my God, that's good. It's got like a little mustard in it. Oh, yeah. That's delicious. A little Faithley's esque. You'll like this one. Senator Ben Gardner, we're signing off from Ocean City. More Baltimore Positive ahead right after this.